The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, I've shared some of this with you before, but as some of you know, I started taking a pottery class last spring. It's been 14 years since I've taken a class, and I've really missed it. I first started doing ceramics or pottery when I was in seminary. It was something that I had always wanted to do, but somehow those classes always filled up first in high school and in college. And I never got in. It happened to be during seminary that Eric and I were part of a weekly dinner group, and we would meet once a week in one of the four couples' apartments, and we would fix dinner for everyone else. So we knew that at least once during the week, we were going to have a good meal and good company. So it was during one of our dinner groups that, and it's often happened that those of us who were in seminary got involved in a lot of what we called shop talk, talking about things that were going on in seminary, theology, and those sorts of things. But we were in a real whirlwind of shop talk one evening, and one of the people turned and said to me, "Beth, you're being awful quiet." And it struck me as they said that I thought, you know, so much of what we do in seminary revolves around words. We read words, tons of words. We write words, tons of words. We talk a lot, more words. And I was really needing some other way to process everything that was perhaps less verbal. So one of the spouses, who was an architect and an artist, said, "Well, you know, Beth, I have just the idea for you." She had just signed up for a pottery class in Hyde Park in Chicago at the Cultural Center there. And she said, "I happen to know that they still have openings. Why don't you come? And that's something that we can do together, so it'd be fun for us to spend that time together. And also just give you an opportunity to do something different." And I thought that was a great idea because I'd always enjoyed taking art classes, but a lot of things that I did tended to be more the fine detailed things, you know, pen and ink or watercolor. And I knew I needed something that was a little bigger and maybe a little bit less precise and definitely a lot messier. And somehow pottery seemed to be that good creative outlet for me. Well, I quickly fell in love with it and took classes off and on for the next 12 years after that. There's something about taking that lump of clay and being able to create something out of it. My favorite thing to do is to throw on a wheel, and someday I hope to actually do a sermon on the wheel for you. but it's pretty amazing to be able to create something useful and beautiful out of this whirling mass of clay. Anyway, it was really wonderful to get back into a class this spring through the Olympia Parks and Recreation. I was really eager on my first class and maybe a little bit nervous because I wondered, it had been 14 years, would I remember how to do it? And once I actually got back into it, would I still be able to do it? It had been a long time. Well, it turns out that I was the only new student in my class. So my instructor said, you know, she asked what had been my experience, and she said, well, let's get a lump of clay. And she sat down beside me, and I had my lump of clay, she had hers, and she walked me through the process of centering and throwing a bowl. And it felt really good to create something. I created this nice little cereal bowl, and I was pretty excited. And she said, well, I need to go help a couple of people. Why don't you take another lump of clay about the same size, and this time do it again on your own. So I created another bowl, and it felt wonderful, awesome. She came over, and she just is very encouraging, and she said, well, how about this time you get a bigger piece of clay? And you know, when you throw with a bigger piece of clay, it's harder. You know, you've got more of a mass that you have to work with. And so I started working the clay and thought, oh, this is going great. I remember how to do this. Here I'm making this bowl that's like a more of a serving size bowl. It's like, this is wonderful. And when you're making a bowl, at least how I do it, is I kind of pull up the sides of the bowl using both my hands. And so I was kind of pulling up the sides of the bowl one last time to give it a nice bowl shape. And I knew that the wheel was going a little fast because that speed of the wheel actually helps you when you are making things. But I was almost done. I had maybe that much more to go, and I was almost done. So I didn't want to break my rhythm, so I just kept going. I thought, this is going well. Well, sure enough, when I got about that far from the top, I collapsed my bowl. It was going too fast. I turned off my wheel, and I kind of slouched on my stool. I felt a little defeated, a little discouraged, mostly because I knew what I was supposed to do, and I didn't do it. I didn't slow the wheel down. Here my nice bowl had collapsed, and that was discouraging. Well, my instructor, who I said is very kind and gentle, she came over and she said, now Beth, why don't you take the bat, which is, I mean, this isn't a bat, but it's like a wooden piece about this size, but it's flat. She said, why don't you take the bat and the bowl off the wheel, and while I was doing that, she went over and got a stool, much like this one, turned it upside down on another stool, and she said, you know, holding my bowl on the bat like this, she said, sometimes, if it doesn't fall off, what you can do is you can turn your bowl upside down. She turns it upside down and it doesn't fall off, and you can just gently let it hang upside down to dry. And then after it dries for a little while, you might still be able to rework it. So we did that, and she said, while we're letting this dry, you've got lots of time, why don't you go ahead and get the same size lump of clay and throw another bowl? So I did. This time, slowing the wheel down and shaping it slowly. And when I was done, she came over and she took that collapsed upside down bowl and turned it right side up. And she said, I love to take bowls like this and to make them into an altered vessel. You can change the shape of bowls like these by hitting them with something or by using your hands. And I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I've got a collapsed bowl here. I'm going to try both. So I took a wooden spoon and kind of whapped at it a little bit. And then I used my hands and I reshaped it. And after a bit, my instructor came over and she again was all smiles. And she said, Beth, that's actually quite beautiful. But I noticed that at the point where the bowl collapsed, where it folded in, it was still pretty misshapen. So I asked her about that, and she said, well, it looks almost like you have a decorative little swoop in there. Why don't you put a couple more, and then it'll look like you did that on purpose. That point where it collapsed becomes the focal point, a point of creative, artistic point. It will accentuate its beauty, she said. And so I did. I took that bowl, and I put the little decorative swoops on it, and then we fired it and glazed it, and it kind of turned out cool. So a little, not round, but kind of more of a rectangular shaped little bowl. And this is where it collapsed, my little decorative swoops. Almost make it look like I did it on purpose. Huh. Okay, so why do I tell you all this? It really does relate to our scripture lessons today. Our lessons today talk about sin. Sin from within, sin from without. They talk about living out our faith, being doers of the word. I think too often as we try to be doers of the word, as we try to live out our faith in our daily lives, we use our sin almost as an excuse, as a reason why we can't live out our faith, even when we sincerely want to. We don't feel worthy. We know we're sinful. We don't feel worthy of this task. We don't feel like we're up to God's standards. Well, when I get myself together, then I'll do this. Maybe we're on the verge of collapse. Perhaps life has beaten us a bit too much. And we don't think God could use someone like me. The truth is that Jesus hung out with quite an assortive group of questionable people. People who were definitely unworthy by society's standards. He hung out with people like fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, outcasts. People with diseases and illnesses. People with bad reputations. People who didn't always tell the truth. People who made bad choices. People who hurt others and were hurting themselves. People who were raw around the edges, or maybe on the edge of collapse. In other words, Jesus hung out and called real people, living real lives. He hung out with them and he called them to be his disciples, to follow him. And he still does. Jesus calls real people. He calls sinners and outcasts, people who are imperfect, impatient, unworthy, to be his disciples today. Jesus calls real people, people like you and people like me, to follow him, to live out our faith and be his disciples. When we hear this call, we too easily forget that God is a master creator and an amazing artist, that God is the potter and that we are the clay, that we are the work of God's very hands. God promises to love all of us. Not just each of us, which God does, but all of who we are as individuals. Our strengths and our weaknesses. Our successes and our mistakes. Our good and our not so good. Even what we perceive as failure. As what we perceive as defeat. In the hands of our gracious, wise, creative God can be transformed into something useful, and beautiful. Because God always meets us in our most vulnerable and fragile places. Places of weakness and hurt. Those places of collapse. God meets us there not with judgment, but with love. With love that forgives. With love that reshapes us. With love that offers mercy and meaning. Offering us promise and purpose. Healing and hope. Offering us new life. God's love always meets us and reshapes us and sends us out so that we can reach out to those who are hurting and fragile and vulnerable. We are always sent out from this place to be God's heart and God's hands in this world, reshaping our world with that creative, life-giving love of God. Be doers of the word and know that God is with you. Amen.